We'll look again tonight at Psalm 107, and we'll look at such a wonderful psalm, and we'll continue here. And the psalm begins in Psalm 107 with these words. It says again, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and into the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Now, when we look at this psalm again, we are reminded of the fact how important it is to give thanks to God, and which is something I think that we naturally are inclined to forget. Because it begins by saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And we're being reminded how important it is as God's people that we don't murmur and complain, but rather we be people that are given to give God glory, give Him thanks for all the good things He's done. And we talked about this morning, why do we give thanks? Three reasons. First of all, first reason, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." We talked this morning how good God is to all of us, that He is so good to us. Secondly, His mercy endureth forever. God's mercy is abundant towards us. Thirdly, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God's redeemed us and saved us from our sins. Now, one thing I think it's important, that a good way that we can give thanks to God and to praise the Lord is a way of singing to the Lord and singing praises to God. I think the Lord loves when we sing to Him. And just a few verses I wanted to share real quick as we talk about singing to the Lord. Over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, just listen to what it says here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord." You know, the Lord loves that. Now, I want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you here. When you're in your vehicles, people can listen to what they want to listen to, but I'm going to listen to you. Y'all not listen to Conway Twitty, okay? Or Merle Haggard. I tell you what y'all listen to. Y'all listen to some good, uplifting, gospel, godly music. Something that uplifts your heart. Spiritual songs. Good hymn music. Something that is godly that you can worship the Lord with. It will change your life. These worldly songs, they don't do much but keep you down. But godly music goes so far. And here we're told that we're to sing these songs to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Listen to what it says here. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." How important it is to sing these songs to the Lord. Notice singing hymns, singing psalms, the Word of God. Even in James, if you go to the book of James, look what James says about singing these songs. James chapter 5, verse 13. "Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Now, you know, I don't have an exhaustive study here of this. These are just a few things I jotted down, but I just wanted to share just a real quick a couple psalms. You don't have to turn if you don't want to, but just listen. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Psalm 13, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 18, verse 49. Therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. Psalm 47 and verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Now there, that verse kind of says it all right there. What do you think God wants us to do? I think He wants us to sing praises. I think that's something that we should do in the very next verse. For God is a King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. So there you see how important it is that we sing praises. And boy, there's a lot more verses I could have used, but just want you to see how important it is. Now, in this chapter, again, God is showing us how important it is that we be people that give thanks unto God. And why? God is good. He is so good to us. Now, you're going to notice in verse 4. Now, I want to encourage you tonight. Look at verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about Israel. He's talking about them. They come out of Egypt. Notice they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. You know, you could argue that's really a picture of a lost person before they got saved. They're in the wilderness. They're wandering. They have no home. They have no place to go. There's nowhere that satisfies them. Okay, they don't know where to go. And notice the next verse. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. You know, their soul is hungry. Their soul is thirsty. Not their body, but their soul is hungry and thirsty. And they can't find anything to satisfy them. Psalm 42 in verse 2. Let me read here. Psalm 42 in verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before God. Psalm 63 in verse 1. The Bible says this. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So you see, there's this thirsting. Sometimes Christians, when we wander off where we ought not be, we get thirsty and hungry for the Lord. And we need to come back to Him. But you'll notice what the children of Israel did in verse 6. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they're wandering aimlessly. What do they do in verse 6? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. So they're in a need, they're in trouble, they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're desperate. They cry unto the Lord. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And what happened? What did God do when they cried to Him? What was His response to them? He delivered them out of their what? Distresses. Now, when I read this earlier, I said it singular, it's plural. Out of their distresses, plural. Out of all their trouble. That is what God does. You see, we don't serve a God that's far off. We serve a God that is ready to help us. And when we call upon Him in trouble, He is there to help him. That is what our God does. When you're in trouble and you have a need, you have a God that is ready to help. And when you cry out to Him, He is there to quickly help you and be there when you need Him most. Now, you just think throughout the Bible, over and over again, how many times did God's people need help in a desperate situation and God was there over and over again? Now, I'm just going to take a moment. I'm going to stop and let y'all talk for a second. Let's name some times in the Bible when God's people, maybe God's person, needed help, and God helped them in the most desperate situation. Can you tell me some times where God delivered His people? What are some times? The three Hebrew children going to the fiery furnace. They told the king, He will deliver us. Daniel in the lion's den. I wrote that one down too. There's two I wrote down. Daniel in the lion's den. God delivered them in the most desperate of times. God delivered them. What else?
Moses and the children of Israel.
Time and time again. They called, God delivered them. Can you think of any other time?
Gideon.
Absolutely. Who else?
David and Goliath.
David and Goliath. Samson. What about Lot? Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you just think, I think about Abraham. Over and over again through the Bible, story after story after story, Jonah, God's people are in distress. They cry out to God. And what does God do? He always faithfully delivers His people. That's what God does. He delivers His people. Now let me just take a moment. Psalm 18, verse 2. I just want to show you this in the Bible so you won't lose faith. I want you to know that no matter what you are facing in your life, we serve a God that knows how to deliver. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Verse 17, same chapter. Psalms verse 18, verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, and they were too strong for me. Psalm, I think verse 43, same psalm, verse 43. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. And look at verse 48. He delivered me from mine enemies, yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Psalm 22, verse 4. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Verse 5. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Psalm 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, real quick question. How many fears did the psalmist say God delivered him from? All my fears. The devil's going to tell you that God won't deliver you. And he's going to tell you that God can't deliver you. He's unable to deliver you. He will let you down. I'm telling you, that's not who the God is we serve. Our God can deliver you from all our fears. He knows how to do it. And He can do it, and He will do it. Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. Psalm 35, verse 10. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. If I keep on going here, Psalm 39, verse 8. Now, I love this one. Psalm 39, verse 8. We all can relate to this one. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. Even my transgressions, God can deliver me from them. Psalm 41, verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. 54 and verse 7. For he delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. 56:13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Well, I love that verse. Not only does God deliver us from death, but He can keep us from falling. Keep us on the right path. Keep us doing the right thing. 86:13. For great is the mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. 91:3. Surely he hath delivered thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. 97:10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil, he preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Psalm 116 and verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eye from tears, and my feet from falling. Now this is just the tip of the iceberg of how God delivers. But I just wanted to show you over and over and over again how God delivers His people. And He says He'll deliver His people from all their troubles, from all their fears. That is the God that we serve. God knows how to deliver. We are to call upon Him in times of trouble. Not to give up, not to be discouraged, not to quit, but we are to trust in the Lord. Now, that's what Israel did. They cried unto the Lord back in Psalm 107, verse 6. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 7, notice what He did. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Now, there's a lot of play on words there. You know, the way, the right way. There's only one way. That's through Christ. He led them the right way. He led them to a city. What city is that? You know, I'm thinking of a heavenly city. But through Christ, you get to that city. But He led them. He led them His own, the right way. Even when you don't know the way to go, the Lord knows the way to go. Now, let's keep on going down. I want to show you this another part here. Look at verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth the waves thereof. Now, here you have somebody that's in a boat. They're going to go do business. They're in their boat. They're in life. But what's happened? The wind is blowing. And trials are coming. And tests are coming. And the seas are stormy. And notice the Bible says the lifting up the waves. Now, when you're in the boat, can you control the waves? You have no control. And here's a picture of your life. There are times in your life you have no control of what's going on. It doesn't matter how bad you want to control it. You cannot help what's happening. And everything is blowing against you. You want it to go this direction or that direction, but nothing is working out. Everything is wrong, and these winds are just blowing harder and harder and harder. And the Bible says here, He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. And we all go through this time in our lives. We're in this boat, and these trials come. I wish that we could live life without trial, but there is no such thing. Life is going to have trials in it. Two quick things I want to share with you. James chapter 1, verse 3. James 1, verse 3, real quick. Listen to what James says. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says this. The trial of your faith, much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Talking about the trial of your faith being very precious, more precious than that of gold. So here you have this soul. You're in this boat. Now look at verse 26. Look how bad the storm is. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Have you ever been in a storm so bad
The waves are so bad, the Bible says that you are up as high as you can go. And then he just crashes down low. My dad told me when he got a letter in the mail congratulating him that his friends and neighbors had selected him to join the services back in the 50s. They congratulated him, thanking him. He got drafted. He was sent to Germany. And he told me he got on a boat with about 4,000 other men on this little boat. He said this boat was way overcrowded. He said they started to go across the ocean. He said they went through a storm. And he says there was a window. He says he'd look out the window and all you would see was blue sky. Or you'd see clouds. The next thing you'd see is just the bottom of the ocean. So that boat would go as high as it could and just crash down the bottom. He said there wasn't anybody on that boat that wasn't sick. He said all they ate for food was crackers. They're handing out saltine crackers because nobody could eat anything. Everyone was seasick. He said they were just hanging off the side of the boat, just throwing up. He said it was the awfulest thing he'd ever seen. He just couldn't wait to get off that boat. You know, I don't remember how long it took him, but he just talked about how bad that was, how the boat would go so high and then it crashed so low. And that's exactly what the Bible's talking about here. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. This storm that they're in is just crashing so hard. And notice what it says. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Let me just ask you a question. Have you ever been so low in your life that your soul felt like it was melted inside of you? Have you ever been so discouraged and so down and so low that you absolutely did not know what to do? That you is at the lowest part of your life. That is where the psalmist is. This is what he's talking about. We've all been there. And if you've not been there, I hate to tell you this, you just keep living. Your day's coming. We're all going to have to spend time here where you get so low, you just don't know what to do. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. It's so bad, it seems like there's no hope. And when you're this low, there's one voice you can always hear, and it's the devil's voice. And he's always telling you, where's God? God's left you. He's abandoned you. He's not there. He's always there to discourage you. But look at verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Every time, what do? They cry to the Lord. And what does he always do? He always brings them out. He never fails. Look at verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Now I want to show you something. Flip over to Mark chapter 4 real quick. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, look at verse 36. And when they had sent the multitude, when they had sent away the multitude and took him even as he was in the ship, there was also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not thou not that we perish? Now here the disciples are scared and terrified, and they think they're going to die. Now what are they afraid is going to happen? They're afraid the ship's going to wreck. And they're all going to die. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says something that goes along right with this. And here's what it says. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Nor forsake thee. So if you're in a boat and you're going through a storm, who's in the boat with you? Jesus is always in the boat with you. Do you think God's going to let that boat shipwreck? No. No matter how bad the storm gets, you're not going to shipwreck. No matter how dark it gets, the boat is going to be okay. You have to call upon the Lord. You got to trust in Him. No matter how tough it gets, you're not going to shipwreck. You're going to be okay. Because Jesus is with you. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when they woke up Jesus, Jesus said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. I go back here to Psalms, and the Bible says here, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the ways thereof are still. Verse 30, then they are glad, and they be quiet, so He bringeth them into their desired haven. And I love what it says next. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So there's our encouragement tonight, that no matter how bad it gets and dark it gets, what should we do? Do we despair? Do we throw up our hands? Do we get discouraged? We cry unto the Lord. And we keep crying to the Lord. He will always deliver us. Now, He may not deliver us the exact moment we think we would like Him to. And I think about some of the stories that were mentioned tonight. I think about the three Hebrew children. They would have probably been easier if they were delivered before they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel may have liked to be delivered before he was thrown into the lion's den. But what did God do in all those stories? He always delivers His people. And I just want to encourage you tonight. Call upon the Lord. Don't lose your faith. No matter what happens, you keep calling upon the Lord.